And take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. The book of Proverbs covers a number of different topics, and some topics it covers quite a bit. We're going to look at one of those topics that actually covers quite a bit in the book. And before we do, let's pray. Father God, we ask for your wisdom this morning. Help us, Lord, to understand your word. I pray the things we learn will indeed help us as we seek to live for you. So help us, Lord, to be attentive and receptive and open to all that your word teaches us this morning. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A while back, I read an article that said that if most people had the opportunity to get married again, they wouldn't. And if most people had the opportunity to marry somebody different, they would. That's not a very good statement on marriage today, is it? That most people seemingly are not happy in their marriage. Not happy with whom they've married. We know this every time someone gets ready to get married and they get engaged, they go around, they tell all their friends, I'm getting married, and they're all excited, and all their friends turn around and say, what are you, nuts? That tells us what people think of marriage. Well, the book of Proverbs basically is a dad teaching his son about life, teaching him general principles of life and general principles how to deal with life. And for the most part, the vast majority of the book is a dad speaking to his son. But in chapter 31, it changes. In chapter 31, it is a mom speaking to her son. But whether it's the dad or whether it's the mom, they both tell the son or talk to the son about either finding a good wife or what a good wife looks like. Because again, remember, it's parents talking to the son, so they talk about finding a wife. We could take these same issues and talk with them about a young girl finding a husband. But our passages talk generally, because it's dad teaching son and then mom teaching son, about how to find a wife, how to find a wife, find a spouse that will help marriage to be all that God wants it to be. Now, for the most part, the verses we're going to look at are about dad teaching son about finding a wife. So it's kind of looking at it from the male point of view, first of all, from God's point of view. But we can also look at these passages not from the male point of view, but from the female point of view. Male point of view, how do I find a good wife? Female point of view, how do I be a good wife? What does the Bible say about being a good wife or being a good spouse? I want to look at both this morning. And I want to begin with this thought before we get to any of the passages or any of the points, that how God views marriage is totally different than how the average human being views marriage. God views marriage as something that is very, very good. And something that as a young person thinks about someday getting married, as something that will be very good for them to do. And I hope as we look at God's word that if that is not your point of view, your thinking, that God's word will begin to change that thinking this morning. So I want to teach you a couple of things this morning. Here's number one. Obtain a good wife. Obtain a good wife. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Ladies, I would memorize that verse, and every time your husband gives you guff, I would quote it to him. Hey, you know, God says finding a wife means you found something that's good. Good thing. Let me say, besides my salvation, the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life was finding Connie. Greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. Some of you may not know the story, but when we went on our first date, she spent our first date calling me Mark. And everywhere we went, she'd say Mark and Mark and Mark. And finally I said to her, you know, first few times I let it go and kind of went along with it. Finally I said to her, my name's not Mark. It's Tom. And of course she responded by saying, but you look like a Mark. After our first date, and I want you to know, I treated her really well. I took her to a very expensive restaurant, which is actually only a block from where my daughter Amy lives right now. Real fancy restaurant. Nice Italian restaurant. Pizza Hut. And we had a great time, except being called Mark all night. And I said after that night, because as we were driving to the restaurant, a car was coming our way, and in the middle of driving to the restaurant, all of a sudden she shouts out, Padiddle! Well, I had never heard of that. How many of you never heard of Padiddle before? Oh, thank you. I turned to her and I said, What's Padiddle? She said, well, whenever an oncoming car comes towards you and it only has one headlight, you yell Padiddle and then you kiss. Now, I went to the school where there was no kissing. There wasn't even any touching. And she's yelling Padiddle, and I looked at her, no, that's not going to happen. I decided after that first date we weren't going to have a second. Until the following week. And then my parents were coming to town. And I said, can't let my parents come to town and not have a date. Well, I just dated her. She's kind of a little squirrely, but we'll have fun. So I said to Connie, hey, would you like to go out again? My parents are coming to town for a weekend. Yeah, I'll go with you. That's a great way, guys, to start a marriage. I want you to know that. Start a dating life. Boy, was I stupid. You know, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was not the birth of my children. Greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day that I got married, besides my salvation. We were watching a movie last night, and it was about this guy and girl that were going to get, well, it was entailed, but ultimately they got married in the movie. And but she was going to marry this different guy, so the first guy's there, and she's trying her wedding gown on, and I looked at her, and I said, you know, there's nothing more beautiful in this world than a woman in a wedding dress. And I said to Connie, you were the most beautiful woman ever in a wedding dress. I still remember the day when she kind of went around the corner, and for the first time I saw her at the end of the church. I'll never forget that day. And that's what God tells us. God tells us that marriage is good. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Look at that. God says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Genesis 2, we read, said, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. God brought all the animals to Adam to show Adam that none of those animals would be his best friend. Adam found that out. Adam understood that. Adam knew that. He knew there was something else that he needed, and none of what God had created to that point would meet that need. So God puts him to sleep, does the first surgery in the history of mankind, and from his rib makes a woman and brings her to Adam. You know, just about for everyone, God's will for your life is to be married. The Bible makes clear that God has called some to singleness. God has chosen for some that they'll never get married, that his desire for their life is to serve him, to give their whole heart to him, and to give their lives fully to him. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So if you're not married, really the first question you ought to ask is not, who should I marry? First question you ought to ask is, should I get married? Because for some, God's desire is that you remain single. But generally speaking, and for most everyone, it is God's desire that you get married, and here he says that marriage is a good thing. In fact, all you got to do is look to the other side of your page, if your Bible is set up the same way as mine, and go over to chapter 19 and verse 14. Not only is finding a wife a good thing, but I want you to know that a good wife is from God. Look at verse 14. Houses and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. The word prudent means wise. A wise wife is a divine blessing from God. A divine blessing from God. You can get houses, you can get wealth from your forefathers, from your father, your parents. But if you want to find a wife who is wise, that kind of wife only comes from God. So I would say when you're thinking about marriage, you need to obtain a good wife, a wise wife, a spouse who is from the Lord. So that might immediately beg the question, how do you find a good spouse? Or for what we're looking at this morning, how does a guy find a good wife? Can I give you a four-point plan for finding a good spouse? Number one, prayer. Prayer. Now, you might say that is just obvious. But I want you to know not only is it obvious, but it is exactly what you need to do. And it's the exact prayer that I believe God will answer. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. When I was still in my dating days, in fact, it was before the first date I had with Connie, a friend of mine and I, we would get in the steps between our floors in our dorm, and we would sit there and we'd pray. We'd pray every single night, and we'd ask God, God, lead us to the girl that you want us to date, him and me, and then lead us to the person who ultimately would become the right spouse, the right wife for us. I believe very strongly that God answered that prayer. And every time I doubt God, and every time I wonder what God is doing in my life, and every time I begin to question God, I always go back to that prayer that God answered very clearly for me. God, help me, lead me to the person that you want me to be married to. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God answers prayer, not just because he says it in his word, but because he answered that prayer for me. Look at Genesis 24, beginning in verse 1. Now Abraham was well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred, and take a wife for my son Isaac. Servant said to him, perhaps the women may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. Look at Abraham saying, look, go find a wife for my son, and God's going to give you success. And God's going to bring a wife for my son to you, and you grab her and you bring her back here so my son may marry her. Verse 8, but if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. And you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham. It was a way of kind of shaking hands in those days. His master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor, and made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, or at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. What he's saying is, God, bring the woman to me that you have picked out for my master's son, the woman you've picked out for Isaac. Behold, I'm standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Yet let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink. And who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels, let her be the one. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you shall have shown steadfast love to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the son of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. And you can read the story through chapter 24, and you know the answer. Rebekah becomes the wife of Isaac. God led Rebekah right to that very place to do the very thing that this servant had prayed. He asked God to bring the right person to where he was, that she would ultimately marry his master's son, Isaac. You know, the Bible says in the book of James, you do not have because you do not ask. If it is God's will for you to be married, and you got to determine that and with God's leading in your life, because maybe it's God's will that he doesn't want you married. But if it is God's will for you to be married, then I want you to know, if you ask God to bring the right person for you to marry, I want you to know God will answer your prayer. He answered mine. And I'm absolutely certain God will answer your prayer. So pray. Number two, seek God's leading. Seek God's leading as you pray. You know, if you're going to ask God to bring someone to you that you're going to marry, you can't stay in your house or stay in your room. You know, you can't go and hide. You got to go out. You got to date. You got to go meet people. But there's a great statement in Genesis chapter 2. Just listen to it. You might have missed it when I read it. It's in verse 22. It says, "And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman," and listen to this, "and brought her to the man." God not only made Eve, but once he made Eve for Adam, he brought Eve to Adam. Look, I believe this with all my heart. If God wants you married, ask God to bring the right person for you to marry, and then I believe God will bring that person to you. That's what he did for Adam. He brought Eve to Adam. Seek God's leading. Number three, place your priority on the internal, not the external. Place your priority on the internal, not the external. Frank, could you pull up the verse that we start the service with? You can come back to the outline later. That's the verse that I use to find a wife. Before I was married, I memorized this verse. And I asked God that God would lead me to the person that will fulfill this verse. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Seek a woman who fears the Lord. Seek a woman who loves God. Ladies, seek a man that loves God. There are so many issues that come up in life. raising kids, how to discipline, how to spend money, where you're going to live, what you're going to do, what your ethical choices are going to be. Those who are married could tell those who are not married that you need to find a person who loves God and wants what God wants. And when you find that kind of person, it makes marriage so much better. And it's not just the internal versus the external. By that I mean a person who fears God, a person who's in love with God. And you find that not just by whether someone comes to church or not, but whether someone's engaged in worship and whether someone's engaged in God's word and whether someone's digging for God's truth, someone who's really living Christianity out. Put your priority on what really matters. Number four, marry only a believer. Marry only a believer. I will not perform a marriage where you have a believer and a non-believer. Won't do it. Bible makes very clear that believers should only marry believers. And if you think you're going to marry a non-believer, you're breaking the word of God. You're breaking God's desire. You're breaking and getting outside of God's will. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:39 and 2 Corinthians 6 and Ezra chapter 9 and chapter 10 and 1 Kings chapter 11 and in Malachi chapter 2, believers, followers of God, ought only to marry believers, followers of God. So obtain a good wife, but in order to do that, you need to pray, you need to seek God's leading, you need to have your priorities right, and you need to make sure that you marry only a believer, because if you don't, you're not going to find the wife that God wants you to have. Number two, avoid the wayward wife. If you're going to obtain a good wife, you need to avoid the wayward wife. Now, the word wayward, the word I'm using here, could refer to a woman who's an adulteress or a prostitute or forbidden or loose or immoral. We find all those words in the Bible. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 26, my son, give me your heart, dad talking to his son, and let your eyes observe my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, and an adulteress is a narrow well. She lies in wait like a robber and increases the traitors among mankind. If you're going to marry somebody, you need to make sure you marry someone who doesn't have loose morals. You might say, how do I do that? I'll tell you in a second, but let me at least say this. You're not going to find that kind of person in a bar. You're not going to find that person where you ought not to be looking. You're not going to find that kind of person who dresses loosely. You know, there's only one thing in the Bible that really talks about clothing in our day and age. And it says this, women must dress modestly. And if you're going out to date somebody and they're not dressed modestly, they're trying to attract you by other means, this is not the kind of person you want to marry. It's not the kind of person you want to marry. Avoid the immodest dresser. Avoid the person who's not walking the way they ought to walk, the wayward woman. Notice she lies in wait, verse 28, like a robber. Verse 27, the prostitute is a deep pit. Tells his son, look, be careful of that kind of woman. In fact, skip back with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30. People do not despise the thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he is hungry. But if he is caught, he will pay sevenfold. He will give all the goods of his house. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. Any guy who would go out and commit adultery doesn't have any sense. In the end, it says in verse 32, he destroys himself, and you can read many other verses that say there are a whole bunch of people besides himself, ultimately they get hurt by it. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. Greatest passage in all the Bible on how to avoid immorality. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8. Speaking of the immoral woman, keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Stay as far away as you can, lest you give out your honor to others and your years to the merciless. Lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. In the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are consumed. And you will say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. There is physical, financial, emotional consequences of getting involved with an immoral woman or an immoral man. Ultimately leads to public disgrace. In fact, in Proverbs 2 and 7 and 9, it says the ultimate end is death. So how do you avoid the wayward spouse? Well, again, if you're going to think about getting married, you need to ask the question, what is this person's relationship to God? Is the person that I'm dating thinking about getting married, are they in absolute love with God? What has been their relationship in dating? Are they constantly in and out of relationships? Do you know there was a study done? My son-in-law told me about this last time we were at their house. A study was done, and what they did is they studied people who were dating and breaking up all the time. Now, Tom dates Connie, and Tom and Connie break up all the time. Do you know there's a far greater chance that once they get married, they will end up divorced than couples who don't do that? So if you're dating someone and you're breaking up all the time or breaking up a lot, it's probably not the person you ought to marry. So it's probably going to lead to divorce. Beware of the wayward woman. Number three, watch out for the quarrelsome wife. Watch out for the quarrelsome wife. Some of my most favorite verses in all the Bible deal with a quarrelsome wife. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 13. A foolish son is the ruin to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. The word quarrelsome means one who causes strife or contention or one who causes quarrels. She's like a Chinese water torture. That's what this says. You know what a Chinese water torture is? They strap you down, they get water, and they drip it on your head, drop by drop by drop by drop, until you go nuts or you give them all the information that they want to get. There's a show on TV called Mythbusters. I love watching that show. And one time they tested this myth. They had one of the people lay on a table, they strapped him down, they began dropping water on your head, drip by drip. It really does work. You do that for any length of time, the person who's getting dripped on, they'll give you any information you want to give them. In fact, there's an old Arab proverb that says this: three things make a house intolerable. Three things make a house intolerable. The leaking through of rain, a wife's nagging, and bugs. Bugs. They're basically saying the same thing that God's word says here. A wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. Turn over to chapter 21, Proverbs 21. Verse 9. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 24. It is better to live in the corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. And it's not only there, it's in chapter 27, verse 15 and 16. Several different verses in the book of Proverbs that say, look, you're better off being in the corner of your house or in the corner of the desert than to share a house with a woman who quarrels all the time. So how do you watch out for a quarrelsome wife if you're not married? Let me throw some questions real quick. Number one, you're dating, are you arguing a lot, constantly? Number two, are you constantly breaking up? Just mention that. Number three, how do you handle disagreements? You know, when you're dating, how do you handle disagreements? Number four, is God's word the final authority in our relationship? You know, one of the things that has made my marriage great is that both Connie and I are absolutely committed to the Word of God. And we are absolutely committed that if we disagree, we go to God's Word, we find out what God says about the issue, and whatever God says, that's it. That settles it. We're done. Number five. Do you have the same likes and dislikes? You know, people often say that opposites attract. Well, they may attract, but I want you to know, once you get married, opposites cause an awful lot of arguments. If you're married and you think alike and you talk alike and you have the same desires and the same principles about life and the same goals in life and the same relationship with God, literally what the Bible says, if you are of one mind, I want you to know it gets rid of an awful lot of arguments. Watch out for the quarrelsome wife. And number four, recognize the marks of a good wife. Turn over to Proverbs 31. Recognize the marks of a good wife. Now I've said, obtain a good spouse or good wife, avoid the wayward spouse, watch out for the quarrelsome spouse, and finally, recognize the marks of a good spouse or a good wife. Proverbs 31, we now change. It's no longer a father speaking to a son, but it is actually a mother talking to her son about what a good wife looks like. And look what she says in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The word excellent means virtuous or of moral strength or of integrity. Notice that she is hard to find, meaning that there are very few women that meet this qualification or meet these characteristics. And when you find her, she is more precious than jewels. In other words, she's very valuable. In Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow kinsmen know that you are a worthy woman." Same idea, this verse, an excellent wife, a worthy woman, a woman of moral strength, of integrity, a virtuous woman. Well, what does she look like? I'm going to give you a summary form of Proverbs 31, this great passage on what a real biblical woman looks like. Let me give you five real quick things. Number one, she's trustworthy. This woman who's hard to find is a very trustworthy woman. Look at verse 11 and 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. A virtuous woman, the woman of Proverbs 31, is a woman who can be trusted. Her husband has absolute, total trust in this kind of wife. Number two, she's thrifty. She's thrifty. Look at verse 13 and 14. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. In other words, she's a wise shopper. She looks for deals. She does not spend money like it's a never-ending supply. She knows when she has money to spend, and she knows when she shouldn't spend money. She's not the kind of woman that says to her husband, well, you bought that, that means I get this. You got that, that means I got to equal out with what I got. Number three, she's not lazy. A virtuous woman is a woman who's not lazy. In fact, the vast majority of Proverbs 31 speaks to this very issue. Look at verse 15. She rises while it is yet night. In other words, she gets up while it's still dark and provides food for her household and portion for her maidens. She considers the field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This is not a woman that gets up and doesn't even get dressed until 1 o'clock and then watches soap operas till 4 o'clock and then sits and orders out for supper and then falls asleep on the couch by 8 o'clock. This is a woman who's not lazy. This is a woman who is busy and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Number four, this kind of woman is worthy of praise. As I'm sure all of you ladies look to Proverbs 31 and have the desire to be like the woman that is mentioned here. Look at verse 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. She is worthy of praise. She doesn't always get it, but she sure is worthy of it. And number five, one, she's trustworthy, two, thrifty, three, not lazy, four, worthy of praise. Number five, and most importantly, she fears the Lord. Charm is deceptive and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Her beauty comes from within. Her beauty comes from her relationship with God. She's a godly woman. She encompasses all the things that make a woman godly. Verse 10 tells us that this kind of woman is few and far between. Obtain a good wife. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians 3 and 1 Peter 3 and Titus chapter 2, they all tell us what a good wife looks like. They all add to what we learn here in the book of Proverbs about what it means to be a good wife or to be a good spouse. Avoid the wayward woman. Watch out for the quarrelsome spouse. Recognize the marks of a good spouse. Now let me say this in ending. Don't zip your Bible. Don't put away your pen. Listen. Never, and I mean never, never, ever marry a person with the idea that once you get married, you will change everything about them that you don't like. I can't tell you how many people I've met that said that was their plan, and now they've realized it doesn't work. God invented marriage. God created marriage. God says that marriage is good. If your marriage is not good, there's only two possibilities. Either you're not right with God, or your spouse is not right with God, or you're both not right with God. It's one of those possibilities. Let's pray. Father God, I pray this morning for every marriage that is represented here this morning. I pray your blessing on each of these marriages. I pray, Lord, that if their marriage is not all that it could be, not what you've created it for, I pray, Lord, that you would work in hearts to help those marriages become better. And I pray, Lord, for all the single people that are here, that they would follow the prescription we find in your word to find the right kind of spouse. Help them to realize, Father, that you do have in mind that if it is your will for them to be married, you have in mind for them a good marriage. Help them, Lord, to find, to do all the things your word tells us to do to have that kind of spouse and have that kind of marriage. For we know, Lord, that it says in your word that it is our marriages that either speak to this world for Christianity or speak against Christianity. I pray, Lord, that the marriages represented here this morning might be a testimony for what you can do in a marriage, that people might want to know you. Help, Lord, our marriages to be opportunities for evangelism. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll ask our ushers to come forward as we take our morning offering.